Lord, have the privilege to help me to continue, friends, on direct attention to Psalm 14, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the mighty cloud, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. It's a wonderful word, friend. It is salvation. Does it belong to you? Again, I say this evening, there is an assurance that the people of God can take hold of. The word of God declares the enemy goes about like a plant seeking whom he may devour. No change in that, friends. Still the same enemy. And this great enemy too goes about like an angel of light from time to time, seeking to bring a people into a satisfaction of self-righteousness. He's quite satisfied people should be found with a letter of truth, that is, to hear it, to accept it in their judgment, and to rest in some short a place in religion. But the God who has set forth our word, this precious word of truth, as a people who shall be taught. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And how shall his dear people be free in the bondage of this evil world, in the bondage of a wicked heart, a body of sin and death, unless they know that they have a God who is able to save to the utmost, a God who is faithful and promised, a God who hath made a new and living way, a God who changeth not. These things, my friends, are not just something to say to pass away an hour in a chapel, but they have a foundation in a living experience, the experience of a child of God. And so I would emphasize again tonight, for the onset of the discourse, I am sure an indisputable evidence of a child of God is that he has had communion with a holy God and known peace in his heart. The word of God declares that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God emphasizes, my friends, you've heard me say this before, it needs to be said more and more and more. The word of God speaks emphatically, the wicked shall be turned into hell. There are no tags attached to that. There are no ways of breaking that word. Nothing that will bring you under it, away from it. If you be found among the wicked, you will be turned into hell. And the word of God opens it up. Two parts shall be cut off. And those two parts consist of professing without profession, possession, and openly profane. The third part shall be brought through the fire. It is this third part who have communion with a holy God and know peace and mercy in their hearts. The evidence commentary that is indisputable is that this God who hath made declaration with regard to the ultimate end, that is the eternal end of sinners, this God receives sinners. How can it be? For all sin, how can it be without an intercessor? How then can there have been communion with God except there be an intercessor, a mediator in between? Here, my friends, is the indisputable evidence of a child of God. Peace with God through the blood of Christ. That's the way. It is that one great sacrifice of the eternal Son of God, whereby he now hath returned to his glory, and he stands in that blessed place of intercession where sinners are received through him. Sinners saved by grace. Blessed character. And so again and again I would emphasize, assurance is not a myth. I know there are many today who speak lightly of assurance as though it were something to pick up so easily. The children of the living God have a right. That right is in Christ. The assurance flows from the work of God through his eternal Spirit in their lives. They have evidence that he is their God. The way they come is the way of our text. There are and never will be any praying souls in hell. Praying souls, I mean, my friends, those who have prayed in the Spirit, those who have had in their hearts the indictings of the Spirit of God, whereby there has been an acceptance by God the Father through a precious Christ's mediatorial work. And pray, do you? For again tonight the object is, if the Lord will, to lift you up, to exalt his own dear Son, to set him on high in your heart and mind, King Jesus. My friends, you and I are able from time to time to set him before the living God as all our hope of glory. Time things don't matter one whit. The changing scenes of time are all in the hands of our God. He knows the end from the beginning. He has full control of every circumstance in which we find ourselves. This God will not permit anything too hard to be laid upon his dear people. Got anybody in this life that can compare with such a God? Mind you, set forth that wonderful word, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retaineth not his anger forever. God delighteth in mercy, Lord, be a sinner in your place. To have such a God as this, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, you cast the pride, not with a blind eye, not to allow it, not in any degree at all, but never to condemn it, to consign you to hell, but ever to look upon his own dear son and see there that payment, precious blood. Pathway then, my friends, must be a pathway of prayer. Real religions, more than notion. Don't quote, just for the sake of quoting, friends. Something must be known, felt, tis the eternal purpose of God. Your religion is real, you have a need. Won't be able to lean on man. The Lord won't permit it. He has engaged to bring his whole church through the afflictions of this evil world. He'll have all the honor and the glory of it. They will see his hand again and again leading them through life's pathway. The appointed way, the ordained way, is prayer. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. This morning we read that other psalm with it, the 116th psalm. The psalmist there sets forth the acknowledgement. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. That just there. He sets forth that which will be an appointment. Sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. This evening, friends, we want to touch a little on that deepest of all matter, soul trouble. We spoke this morning in Providence. All things are in the hands of your God. All your providential matters under his control. But oh, the depth there is in the subject, sin. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, the ruins of the fall, out of the valley of hell. This God had an eternal purpose towards his people. You will be manifestations of it, friend. The way we seldom hear it repeated, as I feel it ought to be, this only way, the way of Christ. There's no other way of deliverance, no other way that God brings his dear people out of that dreadful pit, the ruin of the fall, that filth that belongs to a wicked heart. It isn't just words, friends. Oh, the Lord God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A cesspool of iniquity. Don't hear it much to remember when we talk about it. God will have the glory. A precious Christ will have the crown. brought me, O man, to the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, which was the way of Christ. Who can fully understand it? What human tongue shall ever be able to declare it, to set forth the wonder of it, that God the Father, in the perfect unanimity with God the Son and God the Eternal Spirit, made this way to take up the very centre of the Trinity, God the Son, lay aside his glory for a time, take upon himself a body of flesh and blood to suffer, bleed, and die for you. You must come here, friends. Again I tell you, all men must die, and after death, the judgment, you're among them. When God gives no account of his matters, he won't tell you when you're going to die. Dreadful to be without a good hope through grace. This God then took of his own dear Son, sent him into this lower world, gave him into the hands of wicked men. Gave him into the hands of those wicked men in Gethsemane's garden. He brought him, permitted him to come in his holy manhood into that place of extremity, of fear. Who can understand it? The eternal Son of God. Poet says, backwards and forwards thrice he ran, as though to seek some help from man. The horrors of his holy soul, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. He had no sin. His holy manhood endured pain. No sinful creature can ever endure. He endured that dreadful exercise of prayer that forced blood out of his pores. He wrestled with his God for you. How seldom do we consider the cost? Brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, at what cost? Jesus bore the sins of his dear people, taken to Pilate. See the sovereignty of God here, my friends. See the eternal purpose of God, that he should have a people, save them with an everlasting salvation, ensure for salvation. Pilate could have released him. God decreed it, passeth the human mind to understand it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Pilate must consign him to the cross. Pilate endeavored to release him. He scourged him, hoping that those who accused him would be satisfied and he could release him. They cried out again and again, crucify him, crucify him. Brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the mighty plan of this dreadful past, they nailed him to Calvary's tree. the agonies of his body, how did they compare to the agonies of his holy soul? None shall ever know the Father in his faith. Your sin, my sin. How seldom, friends, do we realize a soft heart, a broken heart, sympathy with Christ, the dreadful cost, bear your sins away, far as the east is from the west, never to be seen again. Does Satan tell you that your sins were laid on Christ? No, he oftentimes tries to separate you from that glorious hope. But your sins being laid on him have brought forth an everlasting salvation. He had no sin. Sin of the whole church was laid upon his dear back. God the Father hid his face, not from his Son, from the sin that lay there. God cannot look upon sin without utter condemnation. Darkness seized his holy soul, a precious Christ. Your sin, my sin, brought that darkness. It brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Precious Christ cried out in that terrible agony of soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Twas the sovereign purpose of a holy God to save sinners, you and me. Came to that glorious place of deliverance. Life was never taken from him. He gave up the ghost. Then it is finished. The sin of his whole church, your sins, never to be set against you throughout time and eternity. What a glorious gospel. And this God set it in the heart of the poet in order to emphasize the wondrous work. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding shore at his hands, and then again at mine. He rose again. Then rising, and his dear people rose with him, complete in the perfections of Christ. One people, one God. Now, my friends, set forth so clearly in our word, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Blessed character. The Lord will never cut you off. The Lord hath set you upon that rock of eternal ages, anchored in him, cemented in him, on the foundation of everlasting love, sovereign decree, a blessed people. One with Christ forever. You can't live without him. He is the flesh tell me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? My friends, as he made himself to you, but he first among 10,000, the altogether lovely. Many, many times do I say publicly, 'tisn't a myth, 'tisn't something men talk about, 'tis a living reality. 'Tisn't sentiment, 'tis that which the Spirit of God conveys to his own dear people, that Jesus died for sinners, that he now lives for sinners, that he waits against that great and glorious day when he shall gather them home to glory. They shall make his eternal crown. I know, my friends, a little of these things I speak about. There have been occasions in my life I've left the chapel, I had a journey to go, and I spent the whole journey travelling home alone. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, thou art precious to my soul. Love is still in my heart. It's not a deserving, it is precious grace, an unmerited favour. It is the Spirit of God exalting a precious Christ, setting him up on high as the salvation of his dear people. Come in. He must be friend. He must be to you a personal Savior. You must know him as the one who stands between your poor soul and the Holy God, as the time will come. Depart from me, I never will. It never will be to those who from time to time realize their need of mercy. Come into those places of realization that without him they can do nothing, who find the enemy a powerful foe, who come into circumstances that are beyond the control of the demon, and whose hearts again and again cry out, "Save, Lord, I perish." Makes himself precious to sinners. He comes into their hearts. He visits them in his love. He makes himself exceedingly precious when he makes a vow. He opens up our text. He brought me up also out of the hollow pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my bones. None Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Does it echo in the heart? I remember as I look back into my life, before I was baptized, I remember one outstanding occasion sitting in the little chapel in London, one of the Lord's servants, whom most of you here know, I mention his name, Mr. Jupp. He preached Christ. Every time he mentioned that sweet name of Jesus, my heart jumped. I rejoiced in him, my Jesus, King Jesus, my Lord, my God, lovely Jesus. The echo in my heart to that precious name. Tis man's work, sinner. It's him who loved us. Heaven's faithful. He who loved us at the time began, He who decreed the people to be found in the merits of righteousness and precious in the atoning blood of Jesus. When we stand and sing, soon that day will come. The youngest to the oldest of us here, called out of time into eternity. There's a need to be again eternity to remember sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. Oh, if Christ and heaven divine, how sweet the accidents, how divine. Will come. What a day it will be to the children of God to see Him face to face. Love of Jesus. To see that precious man that gave his life. To be one with Him. To dwell in that place where there'll be no sin, no more tempting adversary, no more darkness, swallowed up in the love of Christ forever. It's a sweet word, friend. There I shall see His face. Never sin, and from the river of His grace drink endless pleasures in. The human tongue will never be able to exalt Him as twill be tongue of immortality to praise Him as we ought. King Jesus, lovely King. All my salvation. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Is it real to you? Here it is, friends. How solemn to die without good religion, anchored in Christ, taught by the Spirit of God, kept alive by God the Father, because He loves with an everlasting love. How solemn to come short, but I am quite sure that from time to time these sweet references to a precious Jesus, awaken an echo in a saved sinner's heart. My Jesus has done all things well. What must it be there? One day to wake up in glory. Never again to part. Peace. Perfect. Some of you know something of it. I'm sure some of you are here whom the Lord hath made Himself precious to. Let us speak to the hearts of all of understanding. I shall never forget the day, that day when I lay in the arms of Jesus and realized a little of it. No sins, no sorrows, no fears, perfect peace. Forever one day, swallowed up in Christ. Waiting patiently for the Lord to incline them to God is the one here in this place tonight, waiting for this great salvation to be revealed. Is the one in this little chapel tonight who's been here for many a long day, heard the truth, and longs for it to be made manifest, waiting for him to come. Lord speaks through one of his servants, one of the prophets. He says, from this day will I bless you. Belongs to all those who seek after Christ. If that's where you are, poor sinner, being found in this little house of prayer for many a long day, longing for him to come and bless your soul, he's blessed you already. But there was a living desire in a sinner to be consigned to hell. Those living desires is those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids they still seek. Be the unfolding man in the appointed time. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Then twill be he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the mighty clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He set me in Christ. He's washed me in his precious blood. He has ordained me to everlasting bliss. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. My Lord, my God, bless his character. It is all the work of a sovereign God, a merciful God, a compassionate God. Do you deserve it? A further evidence then, my friend, that this is right in your case. The Lord, from time to time, will give you the language of the poet in your heart. Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretched maiden who must forever lie in hell? Were not salvation. It's God alone who can give gracious humility. And waiting patiently for the Lord, we find him.